All right, good afternoon, everyone. As you all can easily read here, this is a story, if you may, about our adventure in community-based participatory approaches. This is the work that I did when I was at Kansas State University. Currently, I'm at Penn State. I'd also like to acknowledge my co-authors on this particular study, some community members, as well as some academic colleagues on this project as well, and of course recognize that the Sunflower Foundation of Kansas provided some funding for this project, as well as the Kansas State University Center for Engagement and Community Development. And they're in the obligatory no relationships to disclose slide here. So I am sure I am preaching to the choir here, and you all are probably pretty familiar with the community-based participatory research approach, or a CBPR approach, thinking about those initial first stages of developing a relationship with the community. It's all about trust, gaining respect, and just having your community be comfortable with you as myself as a researcher coming into community with no previous ties. It can be sometimes quite challenging. Sharing goals, learning about concerns and preferences of the community was one of the very first things that I wanted to do. I started as an assistant professor back in 2005, 2006, really starting to understand this particular problem that is going on in Southwest Kansas, and was really excited to make some first steps. So this is kind of a story of my journey of how I eventually developed a trusting relationship with the community in Southwest Kansas. Now, some of the first steps that myself and my colleague and co-author on this presentation did was offering an olive branch, very much putting together a project that was saying, look at us, we're nice, we're friendly people, we are very much interested in doing something for your community, we want to get to know you, and the process give you some kind of lasting resource in return. So what we did is put together a community resource guide, delivering some information about low cost and free options for physical activity, and information about nutrition, kind of with this idea of obesity prevention in Southwest Kansas. And we essentially were just trying to get in the door to have our community partners interested in talking with us. So we put together this nice guide. We took an approach of sharing and gathering feedback from community members, and in the end we came up with two great products. One was a trusted relationship with community partners, and another was this sustainable physical activity and nutrition guide that was culturally tailored, available in both English and Spanish. So within this adventure, we began to develop this working relationship with several community partners, including the Health Department, Parks and Recreation Department, as well as County Extension, which, as a part of the Land Grant Institution of Kansas State University, we had a relationship with the Cooperative Extension Service. Other typical organizations, as you would expect, with health clinics and hospitals, things like that, the English as Second Language programs at community colleges, and faith organizations. So this was our very first step. This was a part of our olive branch step in developing these relationships. So our community partners said to us, after they liked us and really felt that we were trustworthy and enjoyed working with us, said, we need a little bit more information. We want to continue to address Hispanic health needs in Southwest Kansas, but we need some help. We don't know where to go, what our next step should be. So we said, well, how about we take this in another direction and try to develop a comprehensive understanding of what the current status of Hispanic health is in our diverse communities that we work with in Southwest Kansas. So to give you a little bit of context here, 8% of the population in the entire state of Kansas is Hispanic. However, in the three communities that we had been working with, Dodge City, Garden City, and Liberal, 40 to 60% of the community is Hispanic. Garden City was just declared by the U.S. Census Bureau as majority-minority, so very, very different than a lot of the other communities that we see in Kansas. This is very much an agriculture-based region of the state. There are a lot of feedlots, meatpacking plants, a lot of agriculture going on down in that area. The beef industry is huge. Consequently, the economy is, I wouldn't say booming, but it's doing quite well, and they enjoy a lower unemployment rate than the rest of the state. Within this particular region, the majority of the Hispanics are recent immigrants, and almost 90% report Mexican heritage. So that helped us to gain a little bit of a better understanding of some of the demographics of the community. So I wanted to give you a geographic reference here and show you where Garden City, Dodge City, and Liberal are relative to the rest of the state. When I arrived in Kansas in 2005, I really hadn't realized what a large state it was. You see in the middle there in the SG County, Sedgwick County, that's Wichita. As a point of reference, the large dot is Kansas City. Up there by RL County is Riley County. That's where I was in Kansas State University. And that gives you a little bit of an appreciation of some of the difficulties of community-based participatory research when I was traveling 4 and 5 and sometimes 6 hours to partner with my community. So that was one of the things that was somewhat difficult to overcome for myself as a researcher. Our community partners very much expressed to us that there was a lack of current information available about the Hispanic population, just the general demographics, as well as some of the health and medical related information that they felt that they needed. They said that the census data was out of date, which it had been done in 2000, and there had been a very rapid shift in population in that time. These are in primarily rural counties. USDA rural urban codes puts them at a 5 or a 7 code, so they're pretty rural. So the state BRFSS is not well represented in this particular area, and virtually no diverse populations whatsoever in the state BRFSS database. And the other thing that was kind of skewing our information was that there was an overrepresentation at places that were keeping statistics. So we were still not completely sure of prevalence rates of things like diabetes, heart disease, and things like that. And you all know, more so than anyone, the importance of current information for program planning, for directing future initiatives, and most importantly, making a pitch for future funding efforts. So our community partners said this to us: we need this information. We said, okay, we can do this. We need to find a framework. And this is where we were lucky enough to happen upon the Hispanic Health Needs Assessment. And this is a tool developed by the National Alliance for Hispanic Health that was originally developed in 1987 and has been revised and evolved since then. Originally developed as a community self-assessment tool, however, we adapted it a little bit to be kind of as a partner assessment tool, as we were the community's partner. This is available on their on the National Alliance for Hispanic Health website as well, if you're interested in looking at it. The HHNA is guided by Healthy People 2010 goals, and it does include all the focus areas of the Healthy People 2010 document. For the purposes of this particular project, we just focused on these 5 main areas: access to health care, which was something that was mentioned time and time again by our community partners as something that was a lot more information was needed, and then things like diabetes, heart disease, and stroke, physical activity, and nutrition were things that we could offer up some expertise in, and our community partners were very much interested in learning about these things. So using the Hispanic Health Needs Assessment as our tool, we set out on this attempt to document Hispanic health in these 3 communities. The HHNA tool guides you through 3 methods of data collection. One is farming data from existing statistical data sets for demographic, medical, and mortality statistics, also doing community member surveys, which we were able to collect with the help of some of our community organizations. And we also did interviews with community leaders. And these community leaders included people who you would expect, like the county health department director, other public health nurses, and things like that. But we also looked for other social leaders in the Hispanic community. We looked to some faith leaders, and we actually interviewed a Hispanic radio personality who was very prominent and influential in the community as well. So the results of our survey revealed in our demographics that the picture looked a little bit different than we originally had imagined. And we were able to detect some differences in our Southwest region between Hispanics and the general population at the local level, as well as differences at state and national levels. We could identify trends and disparities, which would be very important for developing future programming and initiatives and looking at needs and preferences. The population that we ended up developing a better understanding of tended to be younger, with larger families, more likely to have a married couple as head of household, a little bit lower income compared to national standards, and lower levels of education also compared to state and national level statistics. Our community member surveys, we had, as you saw from the previous slide, 204 community members from different, from the three different communities complete our surveys, and they were a diverse group. They were, the mean age was 31, 60% were female, and we found some interesting results, though not really surprising. High rates of sedentary activity, low fruit and vegetable consumption, high occupational physical activity, yet low leisure time physical activity. And compared with the state level statistics for Hispanics, they were more overweight and obese. We found a number of barriers to health in our communities, barriers to physical activity. Looking at an environmental level, we had problems with a lack of sidewalks for engaging in physical activity, lack of access to recreational facilities, high traffic areas, no safe parks for engaging in physical activity. Our community leaders were able to provide us with some information about some of the potential barriers to healthy eating in that in this particular region of the state, although it's very farming oriented, there was a lack of access to fruit and vegetables, fresh fruits and vegetables, and the ones that were available were actually quite expensive. So not something you would expect in an area that's very much known for farming. Our community leaders gave us some wonderful insight that was very helpful, talking about underused resources, talking about programs that people didn't know about, didn't attend, but would be a great asset to the community if more people would use them. They also, as I said, identified several barriers to health behaviors, and they were very valuable in being able to recommend some strategies that they felt would be successful for changing and targeting behavior. So after we had collected all this data, we had looked at statistical evidence, we had looked at our community member surveys, and looked at our community leader interviews. We developed some recommendations for action. We kind of sorted everything out and tried to organize it in different categories. We looked at other successful evidence-based strategies, things that had worked in other rural communities, things that had worked in other diverse communities. We looked to the CDC's Task Force for Community Preventative Services to make some recommendations. And we also wanted to make recommendations that were multi-layered, very much going along with the Healthy People 2010 theme of using a multi-layered approach. So we wanted to come up with ideas that would work at an individual level all the way up to a policy or an environmental level. These are just a couple of examples of some of the recommendations that we came up with. These are some targeting health behaviors, looking at installing some walking trails, perhaps putting in some community gardens in some of the mobile home communities where there were a large Hispanic population, doing needs assessment for parks and recreation. These were a couple of examples for promoting health, increasing education and awareness, and doing some community building, forming coalitions, putting together materials to be delivered on Spanish language television and radio, putting together a bilingual website. And our final product, and I have a few of these to share. I don't have enough for everybody. But if you'd like to see me afterwards, we can talk. We came up with a bilingual report that outlines all of our findings for all the communities. It's aimed at a 12th grade reading level and intended mostly for community leaders. And then we also compiled a brief report, which is kind of easier to read, a little bit flashier, and was developed for each community, one in English, one in Spanish, and included local relevant landmarks and photos and things like that, at a developed at a sixth grade reading level. We delivered it at town hall style meetings. We involved local media, and we delivered the information to policymakers. Some of the implications, we feel like we delivered a good solid product that was useful for our community partners for future initiatives, for planning, for grant writing, things like that. We learned a lot about using the HHNA as a tool. We learned a lot about some of the difficulties in obtaining rural level data, especially for diverse communities. And there were a lot of challenges that went along with that. If you're interested in seeing our results, there's our very long website, or you can Google Southwest Kansas Hispanic Health Needs Assessment. It's the first thing that comes up. We have copies of all the briefs as well as the very large report if you're looking for an example to use for your own community. So.